Hey, friends, God bless you. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Thanks so much for your support of Worldview Matters. Today, we get to catch up with President Emeritus of Wisconsin Family Council, Julaine Appling, and we are going to talk about taking action on all the wonderful work that we need to keep up with in 2025. That's next on Worldview Matters.
Welcome to Worldview Matters, discussing controversial issues, discerning current events, defending biblical Christianity. No topic off limits. And now, here's your host, David Fiorazzo.
Well, friends, first, a couple more episodes will be reminding you of our winter fundraiser. But right now, I just want to thank another donor, Adam from Green Bay, became a monthly donor. Those are very helpful to us, keeps us going for the next 6 months. We'll talk to you a little bit about that halfway through the podcast. But thank you, Adam. God bless you, brother. And, you know, every now and then we receive gifts and interesting creations from people, just as their way of saying thank you for the podcast. I just want to thank Jeff Evan Lander, and he creates crosses. He's from Georgia, and he sent us some crosses just for the staff, and they're beautiful, really nice handcrafted crosses. So there's a plug for you, Jeff. Thank you so much. Maybe you can send your info. I don't know if you make them, you know, as a business, or is that just a hobby? But thank you so much for sending those. So, Julaine Appling, thank you so much for joining us again today. Good to see you, sister. Let's catch up.
Oh, absolutely. Good to be with you. I'm glad your show's doing well, and hope that people respond to that message to give to keep it going.
Yes, praise God. And you know what it's like for nonprofits, and God sustains and provides and keeps us going, as you said. Before we get into some of the issues, Julaine, and it's just so great to see you again, would you please give our viewers a little update on your health and your shoulder and cancer and what you're dealing with there? I see the Amazing Grace cross behind you. And so just share whatever you'd like, and we'll jump into some of the issues we need to talk about.
Sure. Well, thanks, David. But, you know, overall, I'm in a really good place. I had this weird cancer diagnosis about 3 or 4 years ago now of an invasive basal cell carcinoma, went into my shoulder. It's very close to the acromion bone. Otherwise, we would have cut it out, because it's kind of like crabgrass. It's just going to stay there and do its thing until we can excise it. But I'm under the care of Mayo right now because it's such a rare cancer. And I'm on a holiday for chemo right now. I go back in January, but the shoulder seems to be doing well. I've got good movement in it, trying to do some strength training to strengthen those muscles and keep that shoulder from becoming a frozen shoulder. I don't need that in addition to everything else. So in light of what it could be, and in light of what I know, some other dear friends of mine, certainly, you know, people we know and love that are going through far worse things, David, by God's good grace, I am doing well. I have strength and energy. I get up and get going in the morning, and I'm able to serve the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and imperfectly all the time, but hopefully with a good heart and with the right motive and making a difference. So,
man, you have made such a difference in all these years since I've known you, Julaine. You're a tireless work, not just for Wisconsin, but I mean, we sometimes send a message to other family organizations in other states, and this is what we have to do to fight these fights. So before we continue, I think there's a lunch with a purpose coming up through Wisconsin Family Council with Scott Klusendorf, a pro-life speaker, and that's on January 22nd. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, we started during COVID, we started some of these remote opportunities for people to meet some of the major players in the state as well as across the country. We had Dr. Albert Moeller on. We've had Ken Ham on. We had a number. And so this time we're going to have Scott Klusendorf on, and it'll be at noon on the 22nd of January, which I think, David, is a Wednesday. We usually have him on a Wednesday. It is, we have the presenter present, and then we allow questions to come from the audience by way of the chat feature on the Zoom. And these are just really good opportunities for pastors, for interested citizens that are lay people in our churches to learn more about specific topics. And Scott Klusendorf has a really good take on the pro-life issue. He's a leader in it. And we think it's important that people hear from him about what we can do in the state of Wisconsin to continue to grow a culture of life. You know, once Roe v. Wade was overturned, to be honest with you, the pro-life community was not ready for what was going to happen. We just weren't. Mm-mm. But we know now that we must continue aggressively all over this country, and certainly in Wisconsin, promoting a pro-life culture. And Scott Klusendorf is well equipped to help us get information out to people to do that.
Yeah, there's an interesting parallel I would like you to speak to. I remember Roe v. Wade being overturned and the celebrations, right? We never thought it would happen, right? After, 75 years or whatever. But it happened. And then I think generally some, I don't want to say many, but some in the pro-life community kind of let up and said, all right, great. Abortion's taken care of. And the left just kept on working and fighting. I think they were ready and we weren't. And I don't want that to happen here in 2024, 2025 now, as we go into the Trump administration. We think, oh, we won the election. Now we can relax because Trump will fix it, right? But there's so much more work to be done because of all these different issues, the abortion pill and other things, which we'll talk about. So your take on that, and just, I think that's just human nature to say, oh, wow, we won. That's the victory. And now we kind of go, oh, okay, relax. But the left never stops, right?
Well, they don't. And one of the things that most people that work in the political realm know, David, is that conservatives tend to go home when we lose and we go home when we win. The liberals have learned over the years, don't ever go home because you may lose a little bit in one battle. But if you get back and you retool, redesign and re-equip and re-energize, you can come back with a new plan that will help you go more steps forward than you lost on the last election. And so I think the analogy is fair. In 2022, when Roe versus Wade was overturned, people didn't understand. The fight wasn't over. It was coming back to the states, and it has come back with a vengeance. So Trump gets elected. You know, that's the president. President can't fix everything. Obviously, I am thrilled that God has continued to give us another window of opportunity to allow freedom to flourish. But that win at the top was not a win all the way down. So yes, the U.S. House is now back in the, or remains in the control of the Republicans, and the Senate has now flipped to the Republicans. So there's more working room there. But at the state level, let's just talk about, for instance, in my opinion, the better candidate lost for U.S. Senate. We lost majorities of conservatives. I shouldn't say it that way. The conservative majorities in our state Senate and our state assembly were narrowed because we had new maps. Yep. So the battles are going to be different there. The issues are not going to go away. All of the things that we've been talking about, the pro-life issue, let's take another one, the transgender issue, just as an example. Those issues cannot be fixed by a wave of the magic wand from the person that sits in the White House. It's impossible. These are not just political issues. These are deep-seated cultural issues. And in fact, they were cultural issues before they became political issues. And so we have so much more work to do. We need a revival. We need a revival, starting with the individuals in our homes, our families, moving to our churches and to our communities across state and across the nation. That's the bottom line. But we also need to just keep rolling up our sleeves and saying, okay, we won the president's election from a conservative standpoint, but there's a lot more to do. For instance, I'm just going to throw it out there right now, David, in Wisconsin, and I know this goes far beyond Wisconsin, but we're a great example. In the spring, we have another election for a Supreme Court justice in an open seat, and it's an opportunity to flip the court back to a conservative majority. So what are the people of Wisconsin going to do? We're going to sit on our hands? Are we going to have, you know, everybody saying, oh, it's all fixed now. Trump's in office. We don't have to do anything. That's the death knell, folks. We must stay engaged. It has been said that the price of freedom is eternal vigilance. And it does take that. We each have to take that seriously and do what we can to retain this freedom and make sure that not just for our generation, but for the generations to come.
Amen. Amen, sister. Thank you. And yeah, this year is kind of like we sense a theme that believers, Christians, conservatives, we have to keep working even harder now in some ways. But one, there's good news out of Indiana, one state I wanted to highlight and then ask you about. Where does Wisconsin measure up to this? Indiana abortion dropped 98% as abortion ban, or one study, between 95 and 98%. Thousands of babies have been saved. And one thing, though, before I get your response, Ghislaine, it says on the bottom, there's abortion activists like Planned Parenthood are repealing the recent court ruling on the law in an attempt to weaken protections for the unborn. So they never stop. But compared to 763 abortions the year before, Indiana Department of Health reported that 41 were performed between July and September last year. So that's, lives have been saved. They are being saved. I wish all states would get on board. Oklahoma, I know, is doing some amazing work. How's Wisconsin?
Well, you know, we're in a tough spot, to be honest with you, because when Roe versus Wade was reversed in June of 2022, 4 days later, Democrat pro-abortion state attorney general Josh Call, at the behest of our pro-abortion Democrat Governor Tony Evers, filed a lawsuit challenging the enforceability of our pre-Roe abortion ban. We have a pre-Roe abortion ban that bans most abortions, except in the case of the life of the mother. And as that case worked its way through the law, through the courts, a year ago this month, the Dane County judge said, oh, no, that statute doesn't pertain to abortion. It's about feticide. Well, that's just poppycock, to be honest with you. And that's a liberal justice doing judicial activism, trying to create something out of, you know, a kind of whole cloth type thing and make it up as she goes along. So what happened was the defendants in that lawsuit said, look, you don't have to put an injunction against the enforcing of that law. We'll just all obey by it. None of us as district attorneys will bring any charges for anybody that does an abortion. So we had this wonderful hiatus on abortions from June of 2022, pretty much through September of 2023. Mm-hmm. What happened in September of 2023? Planned Parenthood, knowing this decision was going to come, took it upon themselves to resume abortions in Milwaukee and Madison. They've only been doing them in three places in the last 10 to 12 years, Sheboygan, Milwaukee, and Madison. And they just, seriously, David, they took it upon themselves to say, we don't really care. Nobody's going to come after us anyway while we're waiting for this court case. So they started doing abortions again. And then after the decision last year by the Dane County Court, Sheboygan joined suit. So let me just quickly say that now that case and another case brought by Planned Parenthood to our Supreme Court, both of them are saying, oh, Supreme Court of Wisconsin, you need to find a right to abortion in our state constitution because it should be there in the liberty guarantee. Because our state constitution, we have the same kind of guarantees that we do over in our U.S. Constitution, in the Declaration of Independence, of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And they just conveniently leave out life and go to liberty and pursuit of happiness. And, you know, somewhere in there, they say we have a right of self-determination that includes the right to take the unborn's life. So our Supreme Court has accepted that. Ironically, David, and this is significant, Pro-Life Wisconsin, Wisconsin Right to Life, and Wisconsin Family Action petitioned the Supreme Court through our friends at Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty to intervene in this case, both cases, and the court said no.
Wow.
No. So there will be oral arguments. There are already oral arguments on one of those cases, the one about the pre-Roe law and its enforceability. And none of the pro-life groups were able to be represented to represent tens of thousands of people in Wisconsin who should have their interests represented well. So you see how significant this court is. Yeah. We're not the only state in this kind of situation. Look at all the states that have put abortion referenda on the ballot.
Yeah.
So in November, we had three states finally advance the cause of life through those referenda. But boy, that was a battle to the finish. Yeah.
And it will be, because abortion is a sacrament to the left. And they, you know, it is demonic, I believe, from a spiritual aspect. There's this bloodlust. And if you go back to the Old Testament, Child sacrifice is nothing new in the history of mankind. And it's just there are different forms and different ways of doing evil now. But we'll maybe talk more about that later. We're going to take a brief pause with Jelaine Appling. But when we come back, there's another very important case that the Supreme Court is to decide if serving the needy is religious or not. More coming up on Worldview Matters.
Introducing Patriot Mobile, the wireless carrier that stands with you. We are committed to supporting the values that make our nation great. With affordable plans and reliable nationwide coverage, Patriot Mobile is not just a wireless service. It's a call to action for those who believe in the American dream.
Get free activation now with promo code David. Hey friends, we're wrapping up our campaign to raise money for the next 6 months, production costs for Worldview Matters. You can jump on board. We'd appreciate, in addition to your prayers, if you are able to give financially, what we want to do is thank you. If you can give a one-time gift of $200 or a recurring gift of $25 a month, we'd love to send you a commemorative rose gold pen set branded with Worldview Matters. And for first-time donors, you get the mug, Worldview Matters mug with my tagline on the back, keep speaking the truth about things that matter. So you can make your tax-deductible gift at worldviewmatters.tv, and then we won't bug you about it for another 6 months. So thank you guys so much for your support. Jelaine Appling, our guest today. Before we move on, I want to mention a quote from that article on Indiana and the lives that have been saved. It says, the 159 abortions that were reported during the year-long period marks a 98% drop from the 9,529 reported the previous year, the last full year under the state's previous abortion restrictions. So thousands of lives in just one state. If you think about that, friends, every human being is made in the image of God, created by God, Imago Dei, and every life is worth saving. Every life is valuable, has value to God. If we look at it that way, every single life has value. If we look at it that way, the biblical worldview, we're looking at the 9,529 that were snuffed out in one state the year before, and that was down to 159. So, yeah, numbers. Once we get into a lot of numbers, people kind of lose focus, but we have to remind ourselves that is a victory, and now let's encourage other states to do the same. All right, so Jelaine, this case you brought to my attention, the Beckett Fund for Religious Liberty, it's a very important case. It's to decide whether Catholic charities of the Diocese of Superiors care for the poor, the elderly, the disabled as part of their religious mission. So the Wisconsin Supreme Court ruled 4-3 earlier this year that the Catholic Charity's service to the poor and needy was not typical religious activity. And you're kind of scratching your head going, all right, I guess they don't understand what religious is or what the charities do. Just help us understand this, Jelaine.
Well, look, the Catholic Charities up there in the Diocese of Superior wanted out of the unemployment program because they have other things that they do internally to handle, you know, that type of thing. They do it on their own. They're self-funded rather than to have to pay to the state to do it. And they thought that they qualified under the religious exemption clause for in that program. And the state said, no, you don't, because what you're doing is not, quote, religious. And then this case ended up before the state Supreme Court. We were a friend. We were part of a friend of a court of the court brief for the case when it went to the state Supreme Court, along with a couple colleges here in Wisconsin, and I think one other group. And the reason we were part of that, David, is that we too are formed as a kind of religious organization. What you have is the Catholic Charities, notice the nomenclature there, Catholic Charities, doing work that extended into the community for both Catholics and non-Catholics, feeding the poor, taking care of the needy, doing those kinds of things that they have done for decades through their Catholic Charities programs. Why? Why do they do that? Because it's part of how they view their religious ministry, mm-hmm. their religious service, whether they're Catholics or non-Catholics. And the court said, the state Supreme Court said, oh, because you serve both non-Catholics and Catholics, we don't see this as typical religious activity. I think this is a frightening decision out of our state Supreme Court, because the state has no business telling any religious organization what is religious and what isn't religious activity. What about a school? I'm on the school board of a Christian school here in the state. I don't want the state coming in and saying, oh, you know what? When you sell your, when you do a fundraiser and you sell fruit or candy to the community and you give it to both Christians and non-Christians and this denomination and not, and this and other denominations, that's not typical religious activity. Now, maybe that's not a good example, but there are other examples we could all use for religious organizations that reach out to the community at large. And the state's going to come and say, oh, that's not typical religious activity. This is fundamentally about religious freedom. It is fundamentally about the right of religious organizations to determine what constitutes religious activity. Fortunately, very fortunately, this was appealed on petition to the U.S. Supreme Court. So we have our state Supreme Court's decision being taken to the U.S. Supreme Court on what they call a petition. And the U.S. Supreme Court earlier this week accepted that. And they will hear oral arguments on it, because it is so significant. And the U.S. Supreme Court people understand that this is a major decision regarding religious freedom on who's going to determine what constitutes religious activity, religious organizations or the state.
Oh, my goodness. That's another very important case to keep an eye on. It is a surprising decision, but we've got to move
not
on.
Not in light of our current Supreme Court, it's not surprising.
Right. So
let me clarify, David, quickly. That's in light of our current state Supreme Court.
Okay. And again, there's that election coming up for Wisconsin coming up very, very soon. So don't let up, friends. Okay, really quickly, we talked about states, Indiana, Wisconsin, Oklahoma. We have an idea what's going on with the pro-life battles in California, Illinois, and, you know, other states that are deep blue. But let's go up north to our northern neighbors in Canada, talk briefly about medically assisted suicide. There's a program called MAID, Medical Assistance in Dying. It reached a record high assisted suicide in 2023, according to a new report. And in Canada, at 1 in 20 medical assisted suicides in the country, in Canada, soared to every 1 in 20, accounting for 15,343 of the deaths last year. That's a 15.8% spike from a year before. Julian, that's a dangerous program, dangerous precedent, and what they're allowing up there. But we can't look up at Canada and say that'll never happen here, because we've got, I think, six states or seven now that where euthanasia is legal. So your thoughts on this issue?
Well, first of all, let's make sure we put this in the Christian worldview context, a biblical worldview context. This is as much of a pro-life issue as abortion.
Yes.
It's typically on the other end of life or somewhere much later than birth. But that's the first thing. But second thing, as I would say, I think this is a huge, huge statement, David, about how our culture pretty much worldwide now views death. Death does not mean heaven or hell to most people. Now it just means another experience of some sort. And so we've really taken away a lot of the, quote, fear, I guess, of that. Let me also say that when I started in this organization in 1997, and I went to my first hearing, 1997, that a bill to legalize physician-assisted suicide is what we called it back then. That was the bill I was hearing. And it has been introduced in Wisconsin almost every session since 1997. It has never advanced. But you're right. It is growing in its acceptance here in not just Wisconsin, but in other parts of our country. Mm-hmm. It is a very dangerous, slippery slope. Safeguards keep getting looser. By the way, I think if I remember correctly, David, one of the things that's happened in Canada is they keep loosening the guardrails mm-hmm. on this. And now you don't have to have a physician. You just have to have, notice how they have that. I think they said medical assistance in dying. Is that
right.
It was?
Yep.
Right. So now they're allowing other people to help. It's just a mess. This is a very dangerous slippery slope, and especially at a time when the mental health in our country is very, very fragile.
Yep.
Because of all that's happening in our culture and in life in general.
Yep. Mental health issues off the charts. Suicide attempt rate in America at record highs. But let's end on a good note, Ghislaine. You sent me this reminder that a nativity and Merry Christmas sign is up in the state capitol in Wisconsin, in Madison. And for the first time in U.S. history, there's a nativity display at the U.S. Capitol.
Yeah,
that's interesting. Share your thoughts on that.
That really surprised me too, David. We put up we had the Battle of the Signs for like 29 years against Freedom from Religion Foundation. We put up a nativity now because we want to proclaim the message of Christmas in a very public way.
Yes.
But I had no idea until the news came out a little earlier this week, I think it was, I read it. For the first time in the history of our country, there is a nativity apparently on the steps going up to the U.S. House of Representatives at the U.S. Capitol. What an achievement. And I have nothing but praise and thanks for those who persevered in this, because it's not easy to go against the powers that be sometimes to get those things done. But, you know, anywhere we can proclaim the truth, especially at Christmas, we need to take advantage of that, because it provides a beautiful opportunity to give the truth of the gospel to people who are, we just talk about mental health. Many of them are very fragile right now, and they will listen to us. And nativities in public places provide great opportunities to have those discussions.
Yep. Ghislaine, thank you again so very much. I encourage you guys watching and listening to pray for Ghislaine, her health, and for the work that God has called her to, that she would continue to be effective in what she does. And she's been such a blessing. So thanks for your friendship, sister, and just for being on the podcast. Well, Lord willing, we'll do this a couple months down the road. So God bless you, and continue to move forward like we all are, trying to fight this fight in the new year.
Be faithful. Thank you, David. God bless you too. And your program and all that's going on with you and people you know and love and take care of. So what a privilege to serve the King of Kings, right?
Amen. Amen.
Merry Christmas.
Yes. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. It is an honor to do what we do. It is a privilege to be here at this point in history where God has a plan for each one of us, and we've just got to keep stepping. What does it say? The mind of man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. So keep stepping, friends. He will direct us. So God bless you. And as always, keep speaking the truth about things that matter. See you next time.